So that second story that we heard about just now in this chapter of Matthew that we're looking at tonight, it also had a consequence for Jesus. So what did he do this time? He tried the first time to escape in a boat to get away from the crowd, so that hadn't worked. So this time he sent the disciples off without him. So reading from verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Now, Matthew's covered just so much ground in this section of his gospel. We've heard the three distinct stories in this chapter, which are linked together by verses which show Jesus' need for quiet before the stormy times which were to come. And it's these few verses about going away to a quiet place which appeal to me. I think it's because I like peace and quiet, and I like wide open spaces. So I think that's probably why I've chosen to focus on them this evening. The picture that you saw earlier, and just see it again, was taken on a trip that Paul and I made a few years ago when we were fortunate enough to go to Jordan. And this is a picture taken in Wadi Rum. We had a short spell there, went in a quite exciting way in four-wheel drive vehicles, which we won't dwell on too much. And then we sat and waited while the camels came so that we could have a ride on a camel across the desert. Now, if you ever do have an opportunity to ride on a camel, what I would really encourage you to remember to do is to hold on tight. Because sitting astride it is fine when it's down on the ground. It's not like with a horse where you've got to sort of climb up onto the horse. Getting on a camel, you sit astride it when it's down, that's fine. And then you have to hold on really tight because, of course, it gets up one way and you're thrown forward. And then it gets up on its other legs and you're thrown backwards in quite a violent way. But after all of that crisis, you can eventually relax and be carried across the desert on your camel. And it just reminds you of, it's just such a timeless thing to be doing, because of course people have been riding camels in the desert for a long time, and as we were waiting to get onto them, you could hear that noise they make. I'm not going to try and imitate a camel now, but if you ever hear a camel's voice and imagine it in a valley surrounded by the cliffs of the desert, it echoes around just in such a prehistoric way. It's quite magnificent. So anyway, so we got on these camels and we went across the desert and we went to a Bedouin encampment. Well, a more modern version of a Bedouin encampment, and stayed there. And we had the choice to sleep out, to sleep there in a shelter or out under the night sky. So, of course, we chose to sleep out under the night sky, being good girl guide. Of course, I couldn't do anything but, could I? And lie there in the night, and the lights turn off, the generator goes off, and it's just so quiet. And you lie there, and you look at the stars. And there's just a lot of stars in the sky without all the light pollution that we have around here. And sort of lay there at the beginning of the night, and there's Orion's belt over there. And you have a little bit of a snooze, and then you wake yourself up, because it's just so unusual. And there's Orion's belt there. Another snooze, and there it is there. You just see the vast canopy of the sky going across. And kept on waking up, because we were due to wake up quite early in the morning, so we could see the dawn come up over the desert. And as we went round and saw the dawn come up, and you saw all the colours of the light, the pinks and the greys, and gradually things change as the light comes up, until, of course, all the colour is, in a way, bleached out by the heat, by the sun in the day. You really get a feeling of timelessness, of being part of something so much bigger than yourself when you're out in a desert place like this. And of course you realize with something like these marvelous rock arches just what it's taken to create such a structure with the wind over all of the years. And so what I was trying to get across to you is that sense of being a part of something so much bigger, which I found in that desert place. And what we've been seeing in the gospel story today is Jesus' need to go to a quiet place, to reflect and to be with God. And the reasons for him going there in these instances can be very real for us now, as we live as his followers in our own time and place. The first time we read about today, he went in sadness, in fear about what might happen, what was going to happen. And also we might want to retreat at times when we're frightened of standing up for our own rights or the rights of other people. Or maybe, of course, like in the second instance where he was tired and yet still ministered to all of the people at the feeding of the 5,000, we can also get burnt out by just trying to do too much. And this, of course, can lead to times of anxiety, doubt, even depression. And these are the things that Paul Hebblethwaite is dwelling on a Tuesday night, to try and help us realize a bit more about ourselves and what we can do, and how, by caring for each other, we can feel better. And it's important, I think, to feel part of creation, part of the whole, which is what I felt in Wadi Rum during our brief stay in the desert. And these days, that opportunity for quiet may be hard to find, with the noise and bustle all around us. Have music available constantly on your iPods, walking along the street, and all that other modern technology that I'm so struggling to keep up with. But there are ways of finding those moments of quiet. And I really sometimes feel that I might be standing here as a preacher thinking, saying these things and saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." And there are indeed times when we are just so busy that there's no time to stop and listen. But for the benefit of our own health and for our own spiritual growth towards the God who shows such love and compassion for us, we need to take advantage of opportunities to go into our own quiet places and spend time with God. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles, and a noisy houseful of their siblings, did it by sitting at the table and putting her apron over her head. And the children knew never to interrupt her when she was doing that. Francis of Assisi retreated into the beauty of the countryside to spend time with God. In China, one imprisoned believer volunteered to work in the camp cesspit because he knew that that was the one place where he could be alone with God, because no one else would go near him. And for me, one of the places that is really nice to go to when I've got the opportunity is to the chaplaincy centre up at the hospital here. When you go in there, there's such a sense of calm. I think it's something to do with the hum of the air conditioning in there, so you're not in complete silence, which can be a bit intimidating. But it is a place of tranquility and quiet. So if ever you are up at the hospital, do take advantage of that space. But we can't retreat to the mountaintop and stay there alone. We are called to do things as well, to help the suffering, as we see in the rest of the chapter. And this is where we move on to a different picture, a picture of the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, as he shows us the way to God. Here in the rest of the account I read from Matthew's Gospel, we have the story of a miracle. It's a story of spiritual significance, which it's a mistake to try and explain literally. The story of the disciples in a boat being buffeted by a storm on the lake, and in the early hours of the morning, Jesus was there, walking across the lake towards them. His words to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," are reminders of other times when such terms have been used, such as when Daniel has a vision of heaven and is reassured with the words, "Do not fear, greatly beloved, you are safe." And in the New Testament, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he was terrified to see an angel announcing that he was to become a father. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid." These are the words which are a reminder of the divine power of Jesus. While we've also seen tonight indications of his need for rest and quiet, reminding us of his humanity. And these are two parts of the one person who is difficult to comprehend, really. The first part of the Declaration of Principle of the Baptist Union sums it up in the words, "Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. God became incarnate and walked among us." And then we come to Peter's impulsive action in wanting to be like his Lord and to step out onto the water. When Peter started thinking too much about the problems around him, the wind and the waves, he did start to sink. But he was helped immediately and got back into the boat when the wind and the waves subsided. And the disciples in the boat worshipped him in words which were used as a congregational liturgy, probably in the early church, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And this is a call, really, and an inspiration to each of us to action. It's the responsibility of each one of us to try and live out this faith all week, and not just on a Sunday. And these are words which we'll have to take into our own lives as we step out of the boat, the metaphorical boat of this chapel tonight, and head out into the wind and the waves of our lives on a Monday morning. Wherever we'll be tomorrow morning, in work or in the home, in school or college, in our various social groups, we each have that call to step out in faith, out of the boat and into the waves. And in our closing hymn, we'll be reflecting on that. our response to the God who came to us in Jesus and showed his divinity and also his humanity, shown for us tonight in the need to withdraw to quiet places before we head out into the storm.